to hear me. And thank you for joining us today. And we celebrate you joining us. And it's very, very precious to get reports sometimes from different parts of the country of people that hear the message. You know, it's not the man, it's the message. And it's also not the woman, it's the message. Because we have leadership here that can minister. And on February 11th, as a matter of fact, that's the weekend that, you know, Valentine's Day is probably going to be celebrated that weekend. And but what we're going to do on February 11th, we're going to celebrate His love being expressed. And we have our own Nikki Weller that's going to be sharing that Sunday. And those of you that are listening in, I want to encourage you, mark that day on your calendar. Our folk here are going to mark it. We're praying for it. We're believing for it. Bring people that need a touch of the love of Jesus. One of the things I love about Mark and Nikki is that they have a very, very real fellowship with Jesus. And you know what? They're good at expressing it. And Nikki's going to be sharing that Sunday. She's going to be talking about the love of Jesus. You know, I don't have to ever tell her what subject to even touch on, because whatever she's going to speak on, the love of Jesus is going to be manifested. And that's because of relationship, fellowship with them. Amen? And I want to tell you, sometimes it's more caught than taught. But I want to tell you, there'll be a lot to catch that day. And so we're looking forward to that. Now, this series that we're on, and I'm probably finishing up, I say probably. If anybody cuts off this message that's watching, we're going to extend it. No. No, really and truly, I appreciate you so much, and this is so much a part of my life. I could preach on it forever probably, but I'm going to try to wrap this up today. But it's the power of thanksgiving. And your soul is healthy when you have a grateful heart. Your soul's healed when you have a grateful heart. And it's something that all of us, if you know Jesus, it's something all of us can plug into, all of us can do. And I'm just going to announce this real quick, but God gave you a chooser. And so you don't have to have a case of the mully grubs for a season. You don't have to have a case of the mully grubs, for the rest of your life. I know it's possible to get addicted to the mully grubs. It's true. You know, you can get addicted to those emotions. But I want to tell you, they're destructive. And Jesus paid the price. For you not to have to, I know it's easy to get there, but you don't have to go there, you don't have to stay there. That's the good news. And so we're going to help you with that today. This series will help you on this. And actually, we kicked this off on the 31st, so if you're not caught up on that, go back and hear the word. And I'm not shy about saying that, because I'm not promoting me, I'm promoting the truths of the word. I'm promoting the principles of the word. And it's the word. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so it's absolutely amazing. You don't have anything better to do than to hear the Word of God. And so I just encourage you, go back, catch up, hear it again. If you know, I'm just going to tell you real straight. You know, we hear from people that do that, and sometimes they're on a trip, and they'll just listen to a series, and they'll go back and listen to it again on the way back, and it's absolutely amazing. They say, the more I listen to it, the more I get. That's because of the Holy Spirit. Because when you seek, you find. When you knock, the doors are opened. When you ask, you receive. And I want to tell you, when you listen, when you hear listening, you know there's a difference. You know, how many times have you been in conversation with your mate? Or at work, or whatever, and people will stop and say, are you listening to me? And then, you know, you have enough on the ball to repeat the last couple words, right? But you know, you can be there and not be there. You can be hearing and not listening. And so I'm telling you, the Bible's just absolutely amazing about catching it, capturing it. And when you seek, when you listen to a message, when you listen to a song, listen to a message, when you're reading the Word and you're listening, I'm telling you, you'll get words from Jesus because the Word's alive. And, you know, it may be a scripture that you've memorized since your youth, but I'm telling you, the Lord can put freshness on it. And it can become fresh bread for you. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read to you out of a book. And I don't normally do this. I love to storytell, but I'm going to read this directly. And this is out of the Maker's Diet. I don't know if you're familiar with Jordan Rubin. He's one of the people I study. There's about three of them that I study when it comes to health. And Dr. Schultz is one of them. He's a world-renowned herbalist, and he is absolutely amazing. And Dr. Don Colbert, I study him and Jordan. And I want to tell you something. These guys have, it goes against the SAD diet, you know, that we know, the standard American diet, the SAD diet. But boy, I'm telling you, he wrote this book years ago, actually, and he's just gotten more and more. But it's the Maker's Diet because he went back to the Bible and studied the Bible way of eating. And just some principles there. And I want to tell you, it's absolutely amazing. I've been really touched by it. I'm going to read to you a couple of pages out of this book. And this title, because it goes along with the sermon. And so I want you to catch it, all right? The title of this in the Maker's Diet is Negative Thoughts, Negative Words. The power of negative thoughts, negative words. It has an effect on you emotionally, on your soul, and on your body, and on your atmosphere. You know that. You recognize that, right? And thank God that it's a two-way truth. That you can go toward God, and your positive words, your positive thoughts will present positive words, will present positive attitudes and positive actions. Somebody say amen. That's the way we teach that. Okay. And here it goes. He said, in his book, What You Don't Know, Baby, Killing You, Don Colbert, described the story of a Jewish Holocaust survivor during World War II from Warsaw, Poland. When the Nazis discovered that he spoke German, they forcibly separated him from his wife, two daughters, and three sons because they could use him to deal with the prisoners. Then the SS guards mowed down his family with machine guns right in front of his eyes. All of his family, five. Wife, four kiddos, murdered. Author and psychiatrist George Ritchie was with the American troops who liberated the death camp survivors, including this man that we're talking about. Ritchie described this man's life in Return from Tomorrow. For 6 years, he had lived on the same starvation diet, slept in the same airless and disease-ridden barracks as everyone else, but without the least physical or mental deterioration. This miraculous survivor had no control over his outward circumstances and shared the same misery inflicted on millions of Jewish victims. Yet he survived. What was his secret? He told Dr. Ritchie. This is his own testimony. He said, I had to decide whether to let myself hate the soldiers who had done this. I had seen too often what hate could do to people's minds and bodies. Hate had just killed the six people who mattered most to me in the world. I decided then that I would spend the rest of my life, whether it was a few days or many years, loving every person I came in contact with. When his camp was liberated, this man immediately didn't think of his welfare first. He went to work with the liberators, working 15 to 16 hours a day, serving his fellow death camp survivors. Dr. Colbert observed, he had learned the secret that negative thoughts lead to negative words, which lead to negative attitudes and emotions. Now, I'm going to read part of the testimony of Jordan Rubin, because he was a young man that was dying. 70 doctors could not help him. But he captured some truths out of the Word of God and practiced those principles and found some people that believed it and hung with them. So listen to this. One of the keys to my recovery was removing negative thinking and negative statements from my life. When I flew to San Diego to live with Bud Keith, the man who taught me the first principles of how to eat foods from the Bible, he forced me to examine my negative thinking. Basically, Bud did that by giving me no choice. I believe he knew about authority in his home. I stayed in his home with his wife and children, and he would not tolerate any negativity. I used to sit in his living room couch wearing a frown, which had become my regular part of my wardrobe for 2 years. He eventually banished me to my bedroom because he didn't want his kids to learn my negative demeanor from me. His tough standards of conduct amounted to a rough boot camp for my soul. I had no one to complain to because the family was not allowed to entertain negative words. It wasn't long before the positive principles he taught started wearing off on me. One time, as I was leaving the bathroom, I remember thinking, I may have another stomachache in 10 minutes. But right now, I'm fine. So I'm saying I'm healed. I started believing my positive statement and thanking God for my healing. From that point on, I learned to count my blessings for the few moments that I had when I was free from pain and nausea. Right from the get-go, I learned a valuable lesson in how to live moment-to-moment life of thanksgiving. One night, after several weeks on the Bible diet, I decided that I would no longer focus on the negative or on what would happen tomorrow or even in the next hour. I took conscious steps to make the change from negativity to thinking positive thoughts, but it was worth it. If I could only say positive things, which were all that were allowed in that home, I had to find the positive in any seemingly negative situation. Like those moments early on when I didn't feel agonizing pain, I'd say, I am well for the moment, and let it go at that. That's when I discovered that faith is not just something you say, it's something you live, moment by moment. The impact of this change in my thinking was a huge factor in my healing. I believe that faith and positive thinking based on God's Word are vital keys to recovering and maintaining health. That is why faith, the size of a tiny mustard seed, can move mountains. Is that powerful? Thank you, Reuben. That goes along with our series. Appreciate your help on that. I want us to read Psalm 107, 1 and 2. I'll tell you what, I'm going to try to do it a little faster because time's flying already. And I'm going to read through this. You read along because it's in your notes. It's Psalm 107. I'm going to read a number of verses here. We got a lot of Bible today, and that's good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are there any redeemed in the house? Is he worthy? Whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary. Verse 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied. Is there anybody in the house satisfied with Jesus? You can be before you leave. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good. Are you filled in your soul with the goodness of God? Verse 17, some are fools, made ill because of the way of their transgressions and are afflicted because of their iniquities. Now, there's a modern tendency to do this, to blame God if you don't feel good. A lot of the world does that. A lot of religion does that. This is key here, because when you operate foolishly, you're going to feel foolishly. And God didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. So don't ever say that God made you sick. Right? Hey, sometimes it's by our own choices. Am I right? Okay. Look at this, verse 18. They loathe every kind of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Do you think, that how much revelation does it take in verse 18 to say that it could be food and sickness may be the same parallel? Boy, there was such a big amen there. I know we got that. Could there be a connection? Okay. Thank you. That's worth thinking on, praying about. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivers them out of their distresses. Now, let me just rush up and say this. If it's your fault or not, some things are our choices. Hey, if it's your fault or not, Jesus is still your rescue. Grace is much more powerful than the power of sin. His success for us on the cross, His victory for us on the cross, is greater than your failure. And so He's your rescue. When you cry to the Lord in your trouble, let Him be your rescue. He loves it. He's not frowning while He does it. He loves to rescue us, to deliver us out of our distress. Somebody say amen to that. He sends forth His word. Boy, I'm telling you, the word is powerful. He sends forth His word. That's why we need exhortation. We need to exhort each other with His word. It's not just be happy. No. You know what? It's sharing the word of God. And so exhort. Give them a word of God. Give a testimony of the word in your life, of the Lord in your life. He sends forth His word and heals them and rescues them. Anybody love to be rescued? Anybody love to be healed? Well, go to His word and let's depend on Him. Let's cry out to Him. Oh, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise and confess to the Lord for His goodness and loving kindness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Wow. That's our role. I want to tell you, your purpose every day is to bring Him glory. Hey, listen here. You can fulfill your purpose every day by bringing Him glory. You know what you do? You praise Him. You thank Him. You share the goodness of God with other people. You practice thanksgiving before other people. You practice it before the Lord. You see, it's a two-way. I'm telling you, vertical, horizontal, we're a two-way people. You're thankful. You're praising to the Lord. You're esteeming Him. It's a whole lot easier to be thankful for people around you when you're practicing thanksgiving here. Amen and amen. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse His deeds with shouts of joy and singing. I want to tell you, you don't ever have to be ashamed or embarrassed about the goodness of God. You say, well, I don't want to make other people feel bad. What? Hey, it's not because of you, it's because of Jesus. Be a big mouth for Jesus and brag on Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Holy Spirit whispers to people, what I've done for them, I can do for you. That's how great God is. And so it's very, very important when we're practicing thanksgiving, this is what happened. You're remembering, you're realizing, you're receiving how much God loves you when you're esteeming Him. I know there's a lot of folk that emphasize you need to love God more. You need to love God more. You need to love God more. And they give all kind of lists about how to love God more. I'm telling you that when you focus on how much God loves you, that happens in praise and thanksgiving. When you focus and esteem on the Lord how much He loves you, guess what? You love Him more. Because we love him because he first loved us. It's a responsive love. And so if you want to love the Lord more, focus on how much he loves you. It's not about your love for God. It's about his love for you. But when you receive and recognize how much he loves you, it's an automatic byproduct. You love him more. Because it's transformation love. Wow. Your love response increases. Proverbs 4:22. For they are life to those who find them. I'm telling you, seek him in the word. I know there's people that are seeking healing. I tell people, seek the healer. Seek the healer. Seek him. When you seek him and touch him and find him, you're not going to miss. Everything that's in his hands are available when you capture him. And so catch on to the word and what he's saying, who he is in the word. And it's healing and health to a little bit of your flesh, to a little bit of your soul. To all, remember this, when I say all, I say to y'all, for to y'all. I don't know how you want to say it, but I want to tell you, when it says all, that means he loves you too. His words bring healing and life to your whole body, and all the saints said. Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Wow. Jealousy is like cancer to the bones. I am telling you, there's a big difference. What direction are you focused on? Because I want to tell you, when you're practicing joyful heart, when you're practicing the peace of Jesus and he's giving you his peace, you don't have to wrestle for it, you receive it. You don't have to deserve it, you receive it. In the midst of your trial and tribulation, his peace is right here available for you. And when you practice his peace, guess what? It's health to you. It's healing to you. I want to tell you, doctors are just now getting on board and saying it, that stress is the biggest cause to sickness and disease. Well, the opposite of stress is peace. We have an advantage because we have the peacemaker himself. The portrayer of peace is our Jesus. Wow. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. I want to tell you, when you practice thanksgiving, and you may have to do it as a sacrifice because you may not feel it, but we're not people of feelings, we're people of faith. And so when you go ahead and by your will, you agree with the word of God and you esteem Jesus and you practice giving thanks to Jesus, I want to tell you, it won't be long till your heart will catch up with the truth. Truth overwhelms fact. And you may be saying, fact, I feel, I feel, I feel. But when you practice giving allegiance to truth and you practice it, and you say it. And that's why we tell you to have a blessings journal and practice giving thanks. And when you do that, guess what? Your heart will catch up with you. And it'll be cheerful. A cheerful heart. And you know what that is? That's medicine to your whole being. There's all kind of benefits to a joyful heart and a cheerful heart. There's benefits. There's no consequences to a cheerful heart. There's no side effects to this medicine. It's only good effects. It's powerful effects. It's supernatural effects. And I want to tell you, this is the only fits I agree with is the benefits. Okay, where I'm from, they'll say, well, you just need to back up and have a fit. They just do it for entertainment. They used to say it like this, just mark off a spot and have a spell. You just go right ahead. No, that's not scriptural. You're supposed to rein that stuff in. You're supposed to put the brakes on that stuff and put the accelerator on the joy and on the peace. And you know what? You got to believe it. You got to speak it. You got to say it. You got to practice it. But I want to tell you, God's word is forever true, and it'll manifest and show up in your life. Joy is good medicine. It works healing. You know, God designed you for joy. He said, my words bring you joy. You say, well, I'm just not there. Well, practice. Practice. Practice his presence. Practice thanksgiving. Go overboard with thanksgiving. Okay? Practice. And watch what God will do. Gratitude improves your mental and physical health. But we have to make thanksgiving a lifestyle. It can't be a Sunday opportunity. It can't be a holiday opportunity. You can't just practice thanksgiving when you smell turkey Okay, it's got to be bigger than that. It needs to be a lifestyle. Listen, this is part of our role, our opportunity to bring Him glory every day, is with Thanksgiving. He loves Thanksgiving. I talked to you a couple months ago about neuropeptides. Man, those are exciting. They're communication systems that God's put in your body from the brain. Well, absolutely read the temperature of your soul and send communications out to the cells of your body. Your immune system responds. It's listening to your heartbeat, to your emotional soul heartbeat. And so that's why it's important for us to practice believing. Because when you practice believing, your neuropeptides send signals out to your immune system and all your souls. It's up! Be at your best. When your soul is down and you're practicing the mully grubs, then you know what? Your unbelief is down. And you know what? It sends signals out to your cells and your immune system down. I want to tell you, medical community is just now figuring this out. The Bible's been saying it for thousands of years. Okay, when you're believing, it's easy to see because you're positive. When you're in unbelief, it's easy to see because you're negative. Anybody listening, saints? Gratitude reduces levels of depression. It lowers blood pressure. It improves sleep. And so that's why we encourage you, get on the Thanksgiving channel. Esteem the Lord. Esteem and honor the Lord. All year long, every day, you fulfill your purpose when you bring Him glory. Only benefits. That's good medicine. Now look, the number one reason why that we want to be overboard with Thanksgiving and create a blessings journal and operate this continually day and night, it's not because, well, it'll make me feel better. No, it will. But that's not the primary. The primary reason to give thanks as a lifestyle is that it's God's will. It's His word. It's His way for us to operate on planet Earth. He's worthy. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy. And when you make it about Him, you're going to see that He's got benefits about you. He's worthy. Magnify Him. And we've talked about Thanksgiving is the gate to receive. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thank God in everything. Now, I'm not saying you have to give thanks to God for everything. If you go out today and you have a flat tire, you may not be able to, oh, Lord, thank you for this flat tire. No, but I want to tell you what you can do. In spite of the flat tire, you can give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have merit in this for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to work this in for my good and your glory. And so, Lord, I'm going to praise you in it, before it, in it, and after it. Because that's our role, is to bring Him glory. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. Is that plain? For this is the will of God for you. I'm telling you, it's God's will. It's God's will. Now, I'm not saying that everything you bump your toe against is God's will. That's not what it's saying. It is God's will for you to give thanks no matter what. And so that's what's important. And I will say this, if it's your fault or not, I got to say this, that you know what? As soon as you surrender that situation to the Lord, He is powerful enough to redeem it for your good and His glory. But He won't do it without you. But He will do it with you. And so that's why that the power of surrender is so amazing. And it's an important part of depending on the Lord. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Now look, I don't try to convince people that don't know Jesus to operate this way. But I'll tell you what, believers have the right to respond. We have the responsibility. And you know what? It's His word for us to respond. And so when I come across a believer that's in the mully grubs or that's so focused on themselves that they're just talking about all the negatives in their life, I want to tell you I have compassion on them because it's easy for any of us to get there. I got compassion on them, but I want to tell you, I challenge them and I exhort them, and there's some challenge room and exhortation. I exhort them and encourage them to get their focus off themselves and on Jesus, to esteem Him. And that's a healthy, healthy thing to do. I want to tell you, this is just beautiful to me. This verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 5:18 speaks to me because it says this. This is what the Lord is saying. I am your Lord. I'm your shepherd no matter what. Now, I want to tell you, you can park on that. You know what he also is saying to me through this? I'm your shepherd and I love you no matter what. And so this is what this is saying. No matter what comes across your path, no matter what happens in your life, whether it's big or small, and it's amazing sometimes how it's the small things that cause us to stumble up. It's amazing. And it's that way with me. I'm telling you, something big can come across the phone. The beautiful blonde will tell you something giant can show up at our house. And I'll tell you, I've learned, I lean on the Lord. And I have grace to operate and grace to respond. But a lot of times it's the little thing. Yes, you got a loud amen from the first lady. I'm living proof of that. Sometimes it's the little thing. And man, I'll stump my toe over something that doesn't even matter a rip. And I'll get aggravated, and you know what? I become my own worst enemy. I do the enemy's job for him. I start getting critical myself. Start blaming myself. Start talking bad about myself. That's enough amen in first lady. And you know what? My little wife had to remind me sometime. I love the way she says it. Don't talk about my husband that way. Yeah. Thank you, blonde. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. I have to change tracks. I have to change channels. I want to tell you, but we can. Because of His grace, we don't have to lose the day. We don't have to lose the hour. His grace is right there. And as soon as we surrender, grace is activated. I trust in His goodness, no matter what. I can give thanks, no matter what. Because He's Lord, He's my shepherd, and He loves me. And so the next time something comes across your path, say, you know what? I'm loved. He's my shepherd, no matter what. I'm loved, no matter what. I'm going to trust His goodness, no matter what. That's why I give thanks. And if you say, well, I'm not there yet, well, give thanks till it arrives. One of the biggest mistakes that believers do, they take a swing at it, and they don't have results, and they quit. I want to tell you, keep on keeping on until there's a witness in your spirit that the truth overrides. In every event and circumstance, He's working out His loving kindness in my life for my good and His glory. That's kind of what I say about Romans 8:28. That's why we surrender and submit to His purpose. Okay? It's not just about you. It's about Him. You make it about Him and watch what He'll do for you. Romans 8:28, we are assured. Hey, saints, let's become assured. You're not going to be assured unless you begin to practice this as a lifestyle. Let's become assured and know in your knower. It's got to be bigger than your brain. It's got to ride and reside in your heart, okay, where it's primary in your heart that you are assured and you know that God being a partner in your labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good, for good, for good, because we're focused on Him, we can see His goodness. When we're focused on Him, we can receive His hope written in our heart that He's going to do something good in spite of this. For good to those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. That just means we're cooperating with Him. We're in surrender to Him. We're operating according to His purpose and not our own. Circumstances don't dictate whether we give thanks. And so whether it's good or bad, I've got to announce this. Your high priest is always good. And so your blessing is not based on your performance. It's based on the performance of your high priest. Our high priest is Jesus. And He's good. He's perfect. And He's representing us before the Father. And so we're in good shape because we have a good high priest. Somebody say amen. And so our heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, that's our pulse rate, that's our blood pressure. If you're practicing thanksgiving as a lifestyle, you've got soul health. You can become whole in your soul with the power of thanksgiving. When you're complaining, you're remaining. You remember that? We've said it all the way through the series. When you're complaining, you're remaining. When you're praising, he's a raising. All right? Very important. Are we believing? We don't live by feeling. We don't live by news reports. Because news reports, and if you do this, because, you know, I got to minister to a family not too long ago in East Texas, and they were sad and mad. And when I began to kind of investigate a little bit about why are you sad and mad, was because they sat in front of the news channel for hours. They sat in front of the news channel for hours. And they would hear the reports over and over again. Okay? And that's what they would focus on. And everybody said, that's what they would focus on. And so I want to tell you, when you're taking that trash in, can I just tell you a little secret here? Is that the news media designs reports to either make you sad or mad. And so, you know what? If you watch that, you're going to get a disturbed heart. Now, let me tell you what Jesus said. Don't let your heart be disturbed. And if you think you're the only one on earth that can sit there and take trash in for hours and hours and it not affect you, you're deceived. Don't let the world's voices disturb you. And the best way to do that is that you focus on what Jesus is saying. What is Jesus saying? We celebrate God's report. What does Jesus say? Don't let your heart be troubled. God wants our heart of gratitude to be daily. He wants us to enter the gate of receiving transformation. You see, this is where we're changed. We're not changed by marking off a set of boxes. Well, I did this. I prayed for this many minutes. I read this many scripture. And so God's got to do this. That's not the way of God. That's the way of religion. Okay? I want to tell you what the way of God is that, you know what? You connect with Him. You love on Him. You let Him love on you. You practice honoring Him and esteeming Him with praise and thanksgiving. I want to tell you, He loves thanksgiving. Give Him what He loves. He's worthy of it. And when you're practicing thanksgiving, you're humbling yourself, which creates great soul health. When you're not focused on you, when you're humbling yourself and you're depending on Him, and then you're able to get these glasses to see how good God is. Because the more you practice thanksgiving, the more thankful you are. The more you practice thanksgiving, the more you can see how good He is. Is anybody interested in the goodness of God? When you're consumed with the goodness of God, it's easy to do. The more you see, the more you can see. And these are the people you run across that are just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And they're giving thanks and they're praising God for this and that and little and big. And God's amazing. And you walk away from there and say, what's wrong with them? It ain't nothing wrong. It's something right. And I want to tell you, don't be mully grub against the goodness of God in their life. They're receiving. God's put a receiver inside of you. And so you practice receiving. And the more you focus on His goodness, the more of His goodness you're going to recognize. It's already there, but you're going to recognize it in your life more and more. Well, I hear you, Papa T, but that's just really not practical. You don't understand what all I'm facing. How can I give thanks with my problems surrounding me? Well, it's just, you don't listen to me, let's listen to Caleb. Caleb saw the giants in the promised land. And I want to tell you what he described. He said, they're just a snack for Jesus. Just a snack for Jesus. You know what he said? It's just, they're bread to us. He said, these giants, we got them. Because God said so. We got them. And so he aligned himself with what God said. And you know what? He confessed it. He said it. He spoke it. Did the giants look big to him? Yeah. But his focus was on a big God. And you know what he said? He agreed with God and said what God said. And you know what he saw? He got revelation that, you know what? These giants are not going to eat us up. We're going to eat them up. And they're snacks for us. They're just a snack for Jesus. He said they're bread to us. I want to tell you what that means. They ain't nothing but a nibble, for one thing. And number two, when we stand in faith to say what God says and to walk out what God says, to go to battle and fight these giants, it's going to be strength to us. Your bread, that Jesus bread, is going to be strength to you. But it's got to be walked out. It's got to be operated out. Hey, we've got a whole generation of Christians who have been fed more spiritual food and know between their eras more spiritual truth than any generation that's probably ever lived. But it don't work unless you walk it out. And so it's got to be applied. It's got to be operated on. You got to be willing to get your foot out of the boat. Somebody say amen. Okay, thank you for that. But the Lord's working on our behalf. He will turn our problems into progress. Bread that will nourish us and strengthen us. And you'll be able to say, on the other end of this battle, on the other end of this rut of God pulling you out and rescuing you, you'll be able to say, I'm stronger now than I was before. You know, that was Caleb's testimony, is that 40 years later, he testified before Joshua that I'm stronger now than I was 40 years ago. He said, give me my mountain. That's what heaven wants to hear. Believers not just think it, but say it. We believe it, so we speak it. And you know what? Then act on it. I want heaven to hear Freedom Life Fellowship say, give me my mountain. I'm stronger now than I've ever been, and it don't matter about my age, because I'm relying on His strength. Well, He had something there. This was old covenant. I'm telling you, we have a better covenant. I'm telling you, if He can receive, can we receive? Amen. Thank you for y'all, those of you that believe that. The Lord's working on our behalf. See how big God is. This is why we're teaching you to esteem the Lord, magnify the Lord. This keeps us entering the gate, keeps our heart in a receiving position, no matter what season we go through. We go through seasons. But I want to tell you, it's important, and I'm sharing this with you, I believe, from the heart of the Lord, part of our vision this year on celebrating His excellency and recognizing His excellency, where we receive His excellent works inside of us and then outside of us, because it's about Him. But this is the season to grow. This is the season to take it in. This is the season to start walking it out. And I want to tell you, when we practice walking it out, it's preparation. It's setting the stage of what God's going to do in the future. Wow. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us catch that. Seasons. This is our season. My friend, practice this powerful exercise. Develop the habit of not despising what you have. That's a human tendency. Say, well, I just don't have much to offer. It's not about you. God's not doing an inventory for talents and brains. He's doing an inventory of hearts. The Bible says his eyes roam to and fro across this world, and he's looking for hearts that will turn toward him. And he's not asking you to bring your resume. I want to tell you, if there's a believer willing to surrender their heart and say yes to God and depend on the Lord, make it a lifestyle. Walk it out. I'm telling you, it's unlimited what God can do. It doesn't matter. Well, how many's in your fellowship? How many's in your church? It don't matter. Hey, it matters how big God is. It matters what God's saying. It matters about the dream of the Lord that He's putting on your heart. Are you in position to receive that? Give thanks for the goodness that you see in your life and around you. And watch what God will do. This pleases Father. I want to tell you, He delights in this. He delights in it. When you humble yourself and practice thanksgiving, and even more especially when you don't feel it. But I want to tell you, the feeling is temporary. It's really a lie, you know, because the enemy will come and just lie to you. He's a liar, liar. And he'll come and say to you, you know, you're just really not loved. You know, you're just really not appreciated like you ought to be. And, you know, there's other people that are further along than you are. And, you know, you're just not measuring up. I want to tell you, that's a lie. That's what the enemy says. What does God say about you? Okay, I get the opportunity to tell people, and I hear the Lord whispering to me while I tell them a lot of times, is that don't listen to what people say. Don't listen to what the world says. Don't listen to what your past report card says. You're not who you are by your failures. You are who you are in Christ. You are who you are because of what God says about you. And our part's to agree with that and to speak it. But you know, we got to stay there long enough for that picture of what the Lord is saying to us to be captured in our heart. That's what hope is. He writes it on the table of our heart. And so when we practice the Lord as a lifestyle, then you walk through the great gate of increase. Hey, it's spiritual increase. It's soul increase. It's physical increase. It's business increase. It's health increase. Somebody say amen. And so when you complain, you remain dissatisfied. I think I shared with you. Hebrew description of complain means to spend the night. You want another night with the frogs? Huh? No. But when we complain, we remain. It might be very, very powerful for us to record ourselves in conversations. Because you know how people do. How you feeling? How you doing? How you doing today? Now, it's okay to be honest. It's nothing wrong with being honest. But I want to tell you something. Be honest with those folk that you can trust. Okay? We don't give the enemy stones to throw back at us. And I want to tell you something. What we do, it's okay. You got a spiritual brother or sister, your mate, that you can just share. You need that. It's okay. I tell people, be that way with God. He's not shocked by it. He wants to hear it. That's a safe place. You'd have to have a safe place to do that. But otherwise, don't get on the book of face and testify the whole world about what all's wrong with your life. Man, that attracts the enemy. I'm just saying to you, if we recorded our conversation, would we be more identified with speaking faith or speaking fear? Complaining or thanksgiving? Because you can't be on two channels at the same time. Focus on Jesus. I want to tell you what He is. He's the unlimited supply. If your tendency is to focus on the lack, then that's the glass half empty. But I want to just tell you something. When you're focused on Jesus, you don't just see it half full. When you focus on Jesus, you see it overflowing. Are you listening, saints? So focus on Jesus. He's the supply. And the way you do that is you practice giving thanks, whether you see it with the physical eye or not. This is why we practice recognizing Him, because we can see it in the spiritual realm before we see it in the physical realm. The world gives thanks after it shows up. We have more connection with Jesus than that. You see love and you see hope and you see faith when you practice thanksgiving. It's ignited in you. And so get ready for multiplication of life when you practice thanksgiving. You may not see a whole lot happen in a hurry. You know, just understand that. You know, when you practice sowing, there's not an immediate response. It may be a period of time before anything peaks up out of the ground. But I want to tell you, when you're practicing thanksgiving, there's roots being grown. And this is what we're talking about. Let's grow some roots. Let's be a church. Let's be a people that have foundation of thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, that way when we come across another believer or even an unbeliever, I want to tell you what comes out of our mouth is thanksgiving. And you know what? They'll listen to the joy. They'll listen to the gratefulness. They'll listen to the thanksgiving, and I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will use it to speak to their life because they're not there. They are not there. They don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to them. And they'll watch you. And they'll listen to you. And when they see that you're real, it has a real effect on them. And so we live it as a lifestyle. Let there be a consciousness. I'm going to just say this, and I hope to draw a picture for you. But I want to tell you, when you're practicing Thanksgiving, there's an atmosphere around you. And when you walk into the marketplace where unbelievers rule and reign, they are aware of atmosphere. And they can sense it. And I want to tell you something. They'll recognize it as different. And they'll be attracted to it. They may ask some questions. They may quiz you. They may do some mockery at you. And you know what? They just test in the water to see if it's real or not. But I'm announcing to you that you can change the atmosphere of your world through the power of thanksgiving and praise. Atmosphere. I had somebody tell me that, well, you know, you don't understand my workplace, man. My workplace is a soap opera. Well, I want to tell you something. That's not shocking because that's the way the world operates. And so don't be shocked by that. Heaven's not shocked by that. But I want to tell you, it don't have to be soap opera in your heart. And even when you're done wrong song and people will make fun of you or manipulate around you or do soap opera around you or you'll be the source of jokes or whatever, I want to tell you, you can operate in peace because He's with you. You can operate in peace because He loves you. You can operate in peace because He's your shepherd. And you know what? You can have Thanksgiving in your little cubicle there or around your desk or in your area or wherever you walk. You can operate in Thanksgiving and praise. And I want to tell you, He promises that He will manifest His presence in Thanksgiving. It's a gate to enter in. And I want to tell you, they'll recognize it. They may not respect it at first, but they probably will later. Because I want to tell you, the Bible says we're to operate like this in such a way that their own accusations will cause them to show out guilty later. It'll do a boomerang on their life. That's not you doing it. That's God doing it. I'm telling you, the power of His presence is greater than any power of darkness. I don't care how many of them there are. Okay? That's your God. I want to tell you, that's real for you. We walk into homes that are absolutely miserable. And I want to tell you something. We, wherever you go, peace goes. Wherever you go, the power of His presence goes. And I want to tell you, as you're praising the Lord on the inside of you, I want to tell you, His presence is manifested. That's what He promised. I want to tell you, you practice Thanksgiving, that's His address. He's there. And He will manifest. And it'll make a difference in the marketplace. It'll make a difference in your workplace. It'll make a difference in your home. That's the power. Because it's Him. And not you. Okay? We're just practicing the principle. We believe. We practice it. We put it into practice. And let God be God. Amen? I'm praying for you right now. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for those of you tuning in. I just want to say to you, if you've never given your life to Christ, this is a great opportunity to surrender to Jesus. Would you just say this after me? Lord Jesus, I give myself to You. I surrender my life to You. I want to thank You, Lord, that You shed Your blood for my sins, that You suffered on the cross for my wholeness. I receive You as my Lord. I receive You as my Savior. I surrender my life to You as my King. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for complete forgiveness. Thank You for the power of Your blood that was shed that sets me free to know You, to walk with You, and to live a life in freedom in Your name. And I give You thanks in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited about sharing with you next week. And so let's be ready.